You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I want to welcome a friend, a very close friend, of, what is it, 34 and a half years, I heard?
That's my reckoning, Adrian, yes.
Oh, my God. All right. And you are such a... Oh, wow.
Aren't we
Larissa,
lucky?
A lot of water under the bridge, but you're very welcome indeed. And you have... I'd like to... Just start. We've spoken about this before, but your late husband, Lou Glucksman, was chairman of Smith Barney Powerhouse on Wall Street. And how did you meet? Is it all right now? Because I know you have children. Grandchildren and great-grandchildren, so don't say anything that you wouldn't want to tell them in person.
No, it's way too late for that, Adrian. I wouldn't even attempt it. No need to, anyway. I've been so blessed with a wonderful, magical life. I met Lou in 1983, and he actually was chairman of Lehman Brothers at that point, when there was a Lehman Brothers.
Right.
And then he and Sandy Weill did a lot of, it was in mad time on Wall Street, and everybody was buying everybody else. And Lou was pushed out of Lehman when American Express bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sandy asked him to come help him do some deals. And one of them was taking over Smith Barney. And Lou did that for a while, and he loved it. He worked with Jamie Dimon and a bunch of really good guys, Jim Bossart, and a lot of really good people.
Mm.
And that's when I met him. In those were the early years.
It would appear, Loretta, that as we listen to the Mike Bloomberg story, you nearly had to get fired on Wall Street to make the big time. Imagine that. Yeah.
That's a very good line. And one of my favorite Mike Bloomberg stories is, by the way, I know you don't do politics on your program.
Never.
But I'm very, very glad that Mike is in the running. I have no idea how it's going to play out because everything is so contrary to the way it's always been. But
right.
Mike worked for Salomon Brothers.
Right.
He was one of their highest traders. And
mm-hmm.
you remember when they, well, it's not necessary to remember because there was so much going on around that time, but Salomon got in a lot of trouble with the government for trying to control the bond market, which is a
mm-hmm.
big no-no. It has a name. I can't remember the name. And Mike was fired from Salomon. And he came, the day he was fired, he came over to see Lou. And he said, I need a job. And Lou said, I've been hearing about some gadget you're tinkering with. Let's make this deal. A year from now, I have a desk waiting for you if your gadget doesn't work. But if that works, you may want to go a different direction. And as history has shown us, Mike went a different direction.
he surely did. Lou actually, chicken and the egg here, although I should rephrase that, but I won't. his interest in Ireland in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, do you take full blame for that?
No, I'd love to take credit for it because it was one of the most magnificent things in my life. But what happened is that he volunteered for the Navy when he was 17, and he was assigned to a submarine in submarine intelligence in the North Atlantic. and they would be 3 weeks down and 1 week up. So when he had a furlough, he would make a beeline to Ireland and make what he called his pilgrimages to the places in Ireland where all his favorite writers had lived and written. So he knew Ireland like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
And I was third generation, but my grandparents were of the people that their town would have the Irish wake for them because they would never return. There was just no hope.
Right.
They didn't have money to hop on airplanes and zip back and forth. So no one ever expected to go back, and I certainly never expected to go. Mm. And Lou wound up taking me first, and we didn't even know one another a whole year. And then he took my parents, which was the highlight of my life. Daddy had passed, so that was a sadness. But he took my mother and my three children and I. And the children were the boys were out of college, and Kate was an adult. We had the most magical trip, and lots of fond memories. But it's thanks to the U.S. Navy that Lou loved Ireland.
How about that? Yeah, it's such a an interesting story, and you know, reflecting, you know, to that period, who knew? Other than it continues to have, indeed, a very poignant and wonderful ongoing effect, particularly, which brings me, of course, to Glucksman Ireland House at New York University. And as if it were yesterday, I distinctly remember, you know, that 1993.
Yep, correct, on the nose.
Yeah, and great celebrities in every sense of the word were, of course, gathered for the opening of Glucksman Ireland House, which was actually and is a townhouse in Washington Mews, right at New York University. How did that come about?
Well, Lou was a trustee on the board of NYU. He was a very loyal alum of the Stern Business School. He went to undergraduate school at William & Mary after the Navy on the GI Bill. And he loved William & Mary, but he knew he wanted to make a career in finance. And so he went to Stern and just developed and continued that loyalty to NYU. And at one time, when we met, Jay Oliva was president of NYU.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Jay had the great blessing of having an Irish mother and an Italian father. And he loved Ireland. And so Lou said, you know, there's all these other ethnic houses. There's the Greek and the Spanish and the French and the German. And there's no Irish. And so Jay said, let's fix that. And so it was arranged that the four of us, Jay and his wife, Mary Ellen, and Lou and myself, went to Ireland and had an amazing, fantastic tour of colleges and universities in Ireland to see if there would be any interest in any cooperative programs and swapping faculty and such things with a program at NYU. And to say there was interest is an understatement. And that was the beginning. That first trip was 29 years ago now, because the house is, we opened that, as you very accurately said, in 93, 27 years ago. And although the rugs are getting a little threadbare, I noticed the other night, but the sweet dear little tiny place is holding up very, very well, and boy, they pack it full of amazing things with gifted kids and wonderful teachers. It's just one of the happiest experiences of our lives.
It is, and it hosts, of course, so many events and archives, and oh my God, I don't even want to start on that.
A great oral history program, which you're very aware of.
Fabulous.
Dr. Miriam Nyan Gray,
right,
who you very kindly launched into a career in broadcasting, she loves doing the radio program.
Absolutely. And I have to say, Loretta, that, when Dr. Miriam Nyan Gray came on board Irish Radio, we weren't expecting that her ratings would surpass our own. But it is in our genes, and grievances. We hold them, and we're trying. We're trying to get our ratings back. But never mind that.
Shot at it, my friend.
and indeed, you. Well, first of all, before we talk about this, your interest in media, in television, in radio, was that before, during, or after you met Lou?
Oh, way before. I was teaching. I was from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and my husband and I, father of my children, wonderful, wonderful man, and still one of my dearest friends, we divorced. We loved one another. We just couldn't live together, and for a lot of very good reasons. And we decided to live separately, and neither of us had any money, and he was just one of the best supports. And with any, he got a nickel, and he gave us the nickel. But that was a tough time, and I took any job I could get. And the best one was teaching, and I was teaching near Trenton, New Jersey, and I had met the governor, Bill Cahill, at the time, and he said to me at a conference at Princeton, he said, we're doing a television thing. He said, they're operating a new federal public broadcasting company. They had no idea what it was. He thought it was some kind of audiovisual thing for schools. And he said, you're a teacher. You put something on. Do a book program. Yeah. And I said, oh, okay.
This was his comparable idea of Mike Bloomberg's gadget.
And that's exactly right.
It's beggar's belief that, in that period that public the public service television.
No idea what it was. They didn't know what to do with it. And so I did go on and did a book program, but I was always a news junkie, as you and Onya very well know. And I started to talk to the people that did the news, which were three people. And I would ask them on every once in a while when there was something that I could stretch and say, there's a book about that or something. And I just got interested, and one thing led to another, and I was doing two and a half years later, yeah. I was doing a news and public affairs program every Thursday night out of Trenton, New Jersey, and it had to be picked up by Channel 13 in New York. because they were actually licensed to Newark, New Jersey.
Right.
And they didn't want to, New Jersey was way beneath them at the time, and they didn't want to spend the money on a independent production in New Jersey, so they picked up ours. And it was terrific and just great, great fun. And that's how I got into production and television and met lots of fascinating people.
And then I'd like to fast forward, you know, to the establishment again of
The house.
And maybe take issue with your description as a small, tiny place. Maybe in relation to NYU, it might get lost, but it doesn't, because it is it's a fabulous place, and it is and deserves to be, you know, the center for Irish studies and among the leading centers for education, particularly in the Irish end.
It really has. It's gone beyond anyone's wildest hope or expectation. And the faculty that has been put together is non-parallel. The wonderful Joe Lee was our director. Well, our original director was Bob Scally, who
right.
was fabulous. And Bob has retired a good long time ago, and then Joe replaced him, and we had him for a good long time. And then just this past year, Joe retired, and we did an international search, and we were lucky to get Professor Kevin Kenny, who had been at Boston College. And he is just so terrific. He's an internationally known scholar, and he's a terrific guy. We just had a party at the house. We're really good at parties, and
yes.
the whole university knows that. So we had a party for the chief of staff of the Dean of Arts and Sciences, who is a terrific young woman who is leaving after getting her doctorate and having a terrific career at NYU. She's off onto other careers now. And we had a terrific party there, and Kevin was there and most of our faculty. We just couldn't do what we do without Miriam and Marion and Casey.
Yeah, sure. So many.
Also terrific, and a lot of them, and I'm not going to be able to say all their names because you want to get into other areas also, I'm sure, like the gala.
Like the gala coming up. Now, this is the 8th.
That is
eighth
correct.
Annual. And was, seeing if I can get a flashback here, was the first gala, was that the one that where you honored, about the Nobel laureate himself, Seamus Heaney. Was that the first one?
That was the first one. Seamus from the very beginning. He was at that legendary party you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
27 years ago, Seamus was one of those laureates that was there, and Albert Reynolds, and we had a Taoiseach before when
right.
Actually Charlie Haughey came out. We had a lot of support and attention from our friends in Ireland, but yes, Seamus was a dear, dear friend and supporter of the house, and was for until he passed way, way too early. So this is our 8th, and it's on February 25th.
Right.
On Washington Square South in the big auditorium there.
NYU's Kennel Center, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And it's a big fun. everybody has a good time. So I would love all your very loyal listeners to come if they can, and we promise them they'll have fun.
Yes.
And if anyone comes and is a listener of Adrian Flanelly, please don't leave that night without letting me know. That will make my night. So please, please do come and let me know.
Thank you. Before we go any further with this, my guest, Loretta Brennan Glucksman, indeed had her own radio program on Irish Radio Network. And we knew we had to kind of pull up our socks when on the very first program in our studios on Madison Avenue, Loretta was interviewing Jay Oliva, who you have mentioned before, and her husband, Lou Glucksman. And I said, oh boy. This one is going to create a lot of raising the bar that high from where we were. It was a little bit
hard. And they had the best time,
both Jay
and Lou did. They loved it. And one of my great memories of many, many great memories from that wonderful experience, because as I tell you all the time, radio is the best medium. You can't be phony on radio. People know it. You can do a lot of dancing on television, but radio is the real deal. And only people that have intrinsic credibility, personal credibility, like you have, last in that medium, because that's what people sense. They see through artifice. And they know when a person is genuine because it's the most intimate medium. I just love it. And I loved those. I don't even know how long it was that you gave me that chance. It was the highlight of my week. I just loved it.
Oh, I know. And it was. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. But also it was we were indeed delighted to bring in lot of guests on program that you would have known and that you would have known through your you know, your philanthropy and through all of that. It brought you know,
well,
we mentioned,
but my favorite ones, excuse me Adrian, were the music guests that you allowed me. My favorite memories is interviewing the Coors.
The Coors, yes, indeed.
They were just breaking onto everybody's mindset, and they were brilliant. And you were so generous. You allowed me to bring family, and I would I had Megan, my granddaughter, with me.
Right.
And she was about 8 or 9 years old, and she, of course, had heard of the Coors. Her eyes were like blueberries. She could not believe it. And the end of the program, we have Megan singing with the Coors.
Wow.
And you gave me a copy of that, which Megan says she plays to her children now. She has three children, under four, if you please.
Wow.
And she said, you can't believe how my kids love the Coors. So it's come full circle, Adrian.
It has, but also the Coors themselves acknowledge that they came, it was their first trip to America,
and
they came directly from Kennedy Airport
to
the studio. And I'd love to say that, you know, that I had some hand act or part in it, but actually I was in Ireland at the time. And I only heard about this afterwards, and I said, who? The Coors. Because they were really not known here, and of course they went on to become world
famous.
Very,
very well known, yeah. And nice young people, too.
Yes, still going. Now, let's get to the Gaelic. And you're honoring somebody who, well, you're honoring two people, but Jonah Slattery is an amazing person. And again, when, you know, for the last 10 years, when Ireland was struggling with the total collapse of the Celtic Tiger,
yep,
Donal Slattery, he was, well, of course, he had been a successful businessman for the last 30 years, but in 10 short years, he established this company called Avalon, A-V-O-L-O-N, and as an aircraft leasing company.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes we had to read or maybe think, maybe it's a typo here, but it's not. $30 billion.
Yeah, B.
With a B. An amazing, it has to be the ultimate Irish success story. It's amazing. It really is.
And he is just as terrific as he is smart and sharp. I knew him when he was quite young, and he went to the, as we used to call it, the College of Tony Ryan. When Tony was running GPA, and Donal was one of the bright young guys that was in that very, very talented group. And he has had this individual success that you've just outlined, which is phenomenal. And what brought him to us is that he wants to make education in America, graduate, postgraduate education for entrepreneurs, available to young Irish students, not casting any aspersions on Irish education, but just the experience of studying in the United States is different. And I think it enriches both syllabuses, if that's a terrible word, but kids that study in Ireland and got brilliant education, they get another brilliant education if they come out here for finance, business, any kind of business-oriented program. So when we heard that, a couple of us talked to Donal, and he said he's very, very interested. And so that's how he agreed to be honored. And I hope this is the beginning of a very beautiful and very long friendship. And that's what Donal has in mind. We don't know exactly what shape it will take, but we are absolutely elated.
Okay. By the way, somebody we met in your house at one of your parties is Stephen Graham, and he is the young fellow, indeed, who before Avalon, for two or three years beforehand, did the research and a lot of the negotiations. But he's head of the American Avalon here. Again, somebody of his, somebody in his, say, age group coming here to the United States. As he had mentioned to me, one of the goals of Donal Slattery would be, to set up mentoring. And that's really, again, something that hasn't been, it's a new approach. That plus, of course, his Donal's support for the arts is second to none.
Absolutely. Arts and education. So we're very excited about Donal, and he has a terrific wife, Elaine, who just happens to be a fantastic limerick woman. So that works for me. And then also, we have two awards, Adrian.
Right.
One is the Lou Glucksman Award for ethical business practice. And the second is the Seamus Heaney Award for Arts and Letters. And the Seamus Heaney Award this year is going to Colm Tobin, which we're absolutely delighted about. Colm is a professor at Columbia University.
Right.
And he spends half his year out here. And I think all of your listeners know what a gifted and brilliant writer Colm is. So that'll be a fun night to have both those.
Absolutely. And I think most people, you know, or most listeners and many others would know, you know, that he is, that Colm Tobin is recognized, you know, for his outstanding literary accomplishments and, you know.
And all over the world.
All over, yes, on the international stage again. Mm-hmm. Getting, of course, the Seamus Heaney Award is something an honor second to none. Seamus, I know from day one, as we go, you know, to the establishment of Glucksman Ireland House, and right up until he passed away, he was not just a visitor. He was
he was family.
Absolutely.
We have a letter that Seamus wrote to me that I'm blessed with a few letters that Seamus wrote, and this one I had to share because he made it very public, and
right.
He wrote a beautiful letter about my Irish is terrible because my grandparents wouldn't allow us to speak Irish in the house in those days. So I never was able to polish it up. But Seamus calls me Mná na Héireann. And
you say that properly. Yeah, Mná na Héireann, you're there.
Well, that is close.
Yes.
And it's framed in Ireland House. It's one of the treasures that we have there.
Right.
The glorious friend. And also, Adrian, I'm sorry to tell you that Mari is not coming out this year. Mari, his wonderful, fantastic widow, has been with us every year. And this year she's just not able to come. She's well. She's just too busy. Everybody wants Mari to do one thing and the other.
Yeah.
And so she's not able to be with us this February, but she will be in spirit, and all the kids too, the two boys and Catherine. So we're very blessed to have that ongoing association with the Heaney family.
Yeah. The lady who is outrating me on radio will be wondering when we get around, you know, to an outright plug for the 8th Gala. So let's just do it. It is, again, it's taking place on Tuesday, February 25th, and it's from 6:30 to 10. It's at NYU's Kimmel Center for University Life. And for those
that takes a real pro. I would never get to that. I'll just chatter on and on, but you get to
No. Well, listen, anybody, we're birds of a feather when it comes to that, and as would be well known. The person to reach, actually, is Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray, and the website is ireland.gala@nyu.edu, or indeed Miriam's telephone number is 212-998-3953. And for those, of course, who may be listening and driving, not a good idea in this day and age to be
No.
Writing, you know, while you're driving. And I mean, they can very, hey, could get locked up for less than that. But we of course, will take you directly to Glucksmann Ireland House website, and you get all the information there.
Yeah, just go through the Adrian Flanelly Show. They'll get you there.
Yeah, all right. And
and I'll certainly look forward to seeing you and your wonderful bride that night. And thank you so much for all your support. You're a really loyal and dear friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Doretta Brennan Glucksmann. Always, always great to have you as a guest. Thank you indeed.
Thanks, Adrian.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com.